Will you turn in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12? 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. Those who are regular attenders at this fellowship will know that we have been speaking about being connected as a body. Church membership is something which we want to take seriously, and I know you've all, if you haven't been here when it's been preached on, you'll have listened to it on the web, etc. And some of you have spoken to myself or to Colin or to Mark about being connected in church membership. And I just want to share a few things this morning which I hope will encourage and bless us, because I know that all of us, I pray all of us, want to hear from the Lord and to be obedient to him. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. But to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For one Spirit, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honour to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all of the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honoured, all of the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do we have gifts of healing? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That's the word of the Lord. It is not my intention this morning. I don't feel led to give a talk on that particular chapter. We will be returning to that, I'm sure, in the days to come. Let us just remind ourselves that we are a Pentecostal church, but a church that takes this word seriously. So we're not a cessationist church. We believe what we have read is still very much relevant and should be active in the Church of Jesus Christ today. So being connected, being part of the body, being connected to the head, Jesus Christ. Just turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 17 and 18. Throughout the pages of this precious book, we see Christ. Here in Colossians, Christ comes to the very fore. He is the preeminent one. He is over and above everything. Christ, the preeminent one. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. John said, I've got to decrease. We must decrease. Christ must increase. He must have the increase. It's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And we've just read in 1 Corinthians 12, we've just read in these two verses that Christ is the head. He's the head of the body. Hallelujah. A church, a body without a head is useless. It will not survive. But when the church is connected with its head, hallelujah, is powerful, is loving. And of course, I'm well aware that these passages speak not just of the local church, the fellowship of believers who are gathered together in a location, whether that's in a building, whether that's in a home, whether it's in a school or club. It's talking about the universal church, but it's also talking about the local church, being connected with one another. And this morning, I want briefly, as the Lord may help me, to demonstrate why I believe belonging to a living biblical church, being connected, is precious. It's a precious gift. I believe it is a gift that the head has given to individual members. I believe it is a gift. Belonging to a church, being connected to a church, isn't like being belonging to a social club, belonging to the cricket club, the sewing circle, a country club. A lot of these clubs may be good, but you receive, you may be entertained. Belonging to a church, first and foremost, is not about me, it's not about you, it's about Christ and it's about each other. It's about serving. Serving Jesus, serving one another. Loving Jesus, loving one another. It's more about what I can give, having received such a precious gift. The greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ. Have you received Jesus? Do you know that your sins are washed away? Do you know that if you were to meet God, the righteous judge, tonight, you would be clothed with the precious robe of righteousness, that Christ has died for you, that Christ has forgiven you, that Christ has given you peace because you had faith in him. You knew that you were a sinner. You knew that you were undone. Your best works are but filth in a holy God's sight. You knew that you could not be reconciled to God in your own strength or relying on your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son, your pastor. You knew that you had to come to Jesus and say, I'm the guilty one. Thank you for the blood. Your blood which is spilled, that it cleanses me right inside. And washes me white as snow. Faith in Jesus. Do you know that if you met with the Lord tonight, that you would meet your bridegroom? Do you? Today is a day of salvation. Hallelujah. This life is but temporary, isn't it? The word describes it as but a vapor. The Lord wants us to be living for him today, reconciled today with him, so that we will enjoy him forever and ever and ever. Eternity beckons. The best for the believer, for the follower of Jesus, is to come. But for those who have denied him, who have not humbled themselves before him, who have not put their trust, their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave himself as a ransom for sinners, those will have an eternity of horror and terror. So he's beckoning us today. Come, come to me. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a saviour. Once we are reconciled to God, he then puts us in a family. It's the family of God. Hallelujah. It's the universal. We've been praying about the believers in Asia, believers in Africa, believers in Iran, believers in Syria, believers in many other countries who are being persecuted. They said, I'm following Jesus. With his strength, with his power, I'm going to follow him. I don't want to deny him. Hallelujah. They're blessed. We've been praying for them. But they're as much part of the family as we are. They're part of the universal church. Hallelujah. They're praying for us as well. But the Lord also puts us in a local family, and I believe it's a gift. And I repeat, it's not about my needs. It's not about my preferences. Being connected to a church means I have an understanding of what it means to be connected to Jesus Christ the head. Hallelujah. And it gives me an understanding of what it means to being connected to the body. Being connected means that I am learning to die to self. That I'm dying to self-ambition. That I'm putting on Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Christ is living in me. And with his help, I'm training myself with the help of my brothers and sisters to live, to grow in grace, to live for Christ, the Redeemer, my Lord. And also to demonstrate his love practically by sharing it with others, by serving the members of his precious body. I find that the reason some give for not being connected, by not joining themselves to a local fellowship, well, they're legion, and some quite are no reasons at all. But friends, they're in fact perhaps feeble excuses. Our attitude to belonging, I believe, our attitude to belonging, our attitude to serving changes dramatically when we understand that Christ loves us. When we understand that Christ has given himself for us, even though we deserve death, that he has died for us so that he could have a people who are dramatically changed from a life of sin and serving self to one that pleases him, that pleases the Lord, to one of praise, to one of joy, to one of thankfulness, to one of loving and serving each other. He has delivered us from the powers of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. That's what he has done in Christ for us. Glory to his name. So if you have repented of your sins, if you have been broken before the Lord, you've acknowledged that Jesus took your sins upon himself. He became your substitute, received by faith his forgiveness and his righteousness. You have received the gift of salvation. What a gift. Ephesians says, "For you are saved by grace through faith and not from yourselves. It is a gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." Hallelujah! God called us not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. You have been called. Brothers and sisters, when we receive the gift of salvation, we do become part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We're part of the universal body. But if 1 Corinthians 12 is going to be worked out on earth, we need to be part, committed, connected to a local body. That's obvious. We must be. We've just read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." You are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed us in his church. He has appointed, Christ is given to the church. As Ephesians 4 says, he's given apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, so that the church, the local church, and the churches throughout even this nation who are biblical and are seeking to follow Christ and his commands, being obedient to him, his work on earth gets done. Hallelujah. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So friends, you've received a gift. A wonderful gift. The gift of eternal salvation. Wow! The gift of eternal salvation. It includes forgiveness of sins by Christ's death on the cross. It includes being adopted by God into a family. Hallelujah! It includes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it includes becoming part of the body of Christ. Yes, I say again, I believe that membership in the body of Christ is a gift. Do you know the majority of the New Testament letters are written to churches? It may be a church in a town, it may be more localized. What are some of the letters that are written to churches? Ephesians, Thessalonians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, Corinthians. That's written to an individual, but yeah. Galatians, no one said Galatians. You were thinking it, the church at Galatia. What about Revelation? Hey? There's seven churches there that are written to. So it's written, you know, this is for us, yes, individually, but also as a community. Now, I've said this before, you've heard me say this. There are, even in the UK, the United Kingdom, pockets where you are hard pressed to find a biblical church, a church which is true to Scripture, a church which hasn't gone off and embraced all sorts of worldly things, who have not gone into the emergent church, or as we was hearing last night, this dominionist manifesto, etc., which is not from the Lord. In some parts of England, even, there are deserts. And I feel for people, and people communicate with me from time to time saying, where can I find a live biblical church? I feel for them. I really do. This is a sad state of affairs. But I have to say, friends, in this part of the UK, we are blessed. And there is no excuse for people to say, I'm going to be a loner. I'm staying at home. A gift, being part of even the body, that's a gift from Christ. Now, a gift has to be received. You may say to me, Jim, I want to bless you this morning. I've just been and got this amazing Rolex just for you. This is my gift to you. I may take it from you, but if I don't actually put it on my wrist, I haven't really received it. I haven't shown appreciation. And I've also hurt you, the giver. I've not blessed you, the giver. Isn't it good Christmas is coming? Sorry. Forget it. Receiving also requires love and humility, doesn't it? So friends, I'm begging you, don't spurn being connected in church membership and what it means. I say it is a gift. It should not be taken lightly. It should not be taken for granted. We should be thankful for it. And when we are thankful for something, I tell you, we have far less time to be argumentative and negative. Healthy church membership means that we find joy in being last instead of wanting to be first. It's not about me. It's about you. In one of John's letters, 1 John chapter 4, we read this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's talking about us. As Mark said earlier, you know, we have so much to thank God for. We're jealous of the unity that we now have. We want to protect it. The Lord commands his blessing when brethren dwell together in unity. But we're not, we realize that there are those who are praying against me and praying against this church. Any live church will be prayed against. But we will stand. And through the challenges and the testing that we may be going through, individually or as a church, we will come out stronger. Hallelujah. Praise be, and fruitful, as Mark said. This is a time to rejoice. Hallelujah. So I think it's fairly obvious from the whole tenor of Scripture that it is not that any should go it alone. While the life of the living God in the believer is an individual thing, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are connected to the head. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus is your head. He is the preeminent one. We're not supposed to go it alone. We've just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, haven't we, about, you know, what if the eye says, I don't need you. You're just a foot. I'd much rather be an arm. I don't need you. Or, well, you know, I'm a big toe. I'm going to stay on my own because my big toe's important. You know, a big toe lying around is useless. It is. It needs to be connected to the foot. And the foot needs to be connected to the leg. And, well, you know, you get the picture. Friends, we are together. And so why we have been bringing this church membership to you, because as elders, we believe Christ, as the head, has spoken to us. And if we're to serve and to love one another, we want to demonstrate our commitment to each other. And so I remind you, some have yet not looked at this and spoken to one of the elders or filled in. Can I encourage you to do just that, please? James chapter 3 verse 18 says, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Put others first. Some of you, quite possibly, and I've said this before, may have had bad experiences of church. Heavy shepherding and, oh, they want your money. This isn't what it's about at all. It's about loving one another, serving one another, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, saying, hey, I'm pleased I'm part of this family. I'll tell you, friends, the present challenge that I'm going through, which is temporary, I'm so thankful that guys have already said, Pastor, we're with you. You're part of the family. That's strengthening. Those who love me enough to want to say, I'm part of this body of Christ. Let's stand. Do you know the best way to help others? Is to see the best in them. Hallelujah.